And joining us now is Paul Gutierrez. He covers the Raiders for CSN Bay Area. And Paul, first of all, welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me. Great to be here.
Well, let's talk a little bit about this Raider team, which has a couple of things in common with the Browns. Number one, same record. Both are 3-8. Number two, they too beat the Steelers at home. Did that in the third week of the season. But other than that, it doesn't feel the same, Paul, and I think especially because of the four-game losing streak that this Raider team is on.
Yeah, and I think that's the big thing there, is that you get a sense that the Browns are kind of a team that's finding itself, and a young team, but still finding itself and moving forward. And the Raiders, the R word, which Mark Davis uttered a couple of weeks ago, regression. That's what happens when you're getting blown out four straight weeks in a row, and dropping all four of those games, obviously. And they're still trying to find an identity. They've had to deal with some injuries, but so does every team. And the biggest news, I guess, so to speak, is that Darren McFadden is back out there on the practice field right now as we speak, as is Mike Goodson. So they might be getting some troops back, but I'm not sure if it really helps out at this stage anyways.
Yeah, you talk about McFadden and his impact, and I want to get into that. But I also, before we do that, I want to look at what these last three games have been. The scores of the four losses in a row, but the last three especially, starting 55-20 to the Ravens, followed by 38-17 against the Saints, and then 34-10 last week against the Bengals. The clear trend being that this team is getting blown out and overwhelmed by a lot of these opponents, or by these last three opponents especially. What do you attribute that to? And some could point to, well, you know, similar to Philadelphia, it's like a team that's maybe losing engagement with the season, if you will.
Yeah, I think what it is with this team in particular is they get jumped early. And as soon as they get down by 10-0, 14-0, then it goes into panic mode, and then the wheels kind of fall off, and you get the sense that not necessarily that they're giving up on the season or that they're giving up on the coaching staff. It's just that feeling of here we go again that has really enveloped this franchise for over 10 years. So that's what's happened the past 3 weeks. The defense is having a tough time stopping anybody. The offense is putting up decent numbers, but a lot of critics will look at it as saying, well, they're doing that in garbage time, so to speak, because it's after the game's already been decided. So you've got a lot of things that are going wrong at the precisely wrong time for the Raiders. Earlier in the year, when they were 3-4 and looking at a home game against Tampa Bay and getting back to .500, you could have just said, well, it was just the offense because the defense was playing well. Now it's every facet of the game is kind of misfiring right now.
And there was a lot of right hope and optimism leading into this with, you know, Reggie McKenzie coming in as general manager from the Packers and bringing maybe that Packer way there. And Dennis Allen, you know, coming in as a head coach, albeit in a new head coach, and that continuity has been something that we know as the Raiders have lacked, the lots of changes in that position. So, you could point to, well, it's the transition thing, the new thing, but on the other hand, these weren't the expected results. And when you throw in the fact that a guy, an accomplished quarterback like Carson Palmer, is under center.
Yeah, and I think what the danger in the beginning of the season of looking at this team was that a lot of people could look at it and say, well, this is a team that went 8-8 the past 2 years. They were literally one play away from winning the division last year. 2 years ago, they went undefeated in the division and going 8-8. And that this was going to be the same team, when in reality, they basically gutted the entire organization, not only offensively, defensively, new special teams philosophy. They had to change the programs and the computer programs inside the building. I mean, that's how big the change was here. So while there were some named players and there was some holdover, you know, just changing the offense from the power blocking scheme to the zone blocking, you saw what happened with McFadden, as we alluded to earlier. It just was not the same team, so to speak. It was basically an expansion franchise with some named players on it. And Murphy's Law has really taken a hold these past 4 weeks.
And as I mentioned, Carson Palmer's name, and there's a thing that, you know, when you look at him, that you still see a guy with a big arm and the ability to take advantage of some explosive weapons. And even though the scores haven't reflected that is something the Raiders still have.
Oh, yeah. And with Carson, in my opinion, he's been the most valuable player on this team. He's been the most consistent. And he was really one of the biggest question marks, if not the biggest question mark coming into the season, was how was he going to adapt to this new offense? Because he's not the most nimble of guys. You know, he's the pure drop-back passer, stand tall in the pocket and take a lick while he's throwing the ball downfield, and he's done that. I don't think a lot of fans really realize how tough it has been on him when you looked at the lack of time he's really had to throw the ball downfield. And a lot of teams, especially came to fruition in Cincinnati, they were getting pressure on him with just a basic four-man front just coming at him, which allows the defensive backs to cover their guys, and Carson has no time to throw the ball downfield. So, in my opinion, what Carson's been able to do has been pretty amazing. Not as amazing as what he was able to do last year, coming in and learning an entirely new language, a new offense, when he was acquired off the couch. But he's been a pretty solid player for them in what has been a disappointing season thus far.
Paul Gutierrez joins us. He covers the Raiders for CSN, Comcast Sportsnet Bay Area, and right here on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. Paul, you've seen this Browns team defensively. You talk about pressure and sacks. 7 sacks against the Cowboys, 8 turnovers forced last week against the Steelers. So this defense has been on that kind of a roll. How do you see the matchup where the Browns have been so strong in their front 7 going up against that Raider O-line and the Raider offense in general?
Yeah, well, that offensive line for the Raiders has been very leaky of late. And Mike Rizzell, the right guard, he had a tough game in Cincinnati. That right tackle, Khalif Barnes, he's coming back from injury, only going to be his 3rd game back. He's had a tough go of it protecting Carson Palmer. And really the only true strengths on that offensive line have been Wisniewski at center and Jared Valdir out there at left tackle. So, and again, to me, every game is won or lost in the trenches among the line. And that's going to be the key battle. And if Carson Palmer can have some time to look downfield, then it opens up a whole lot of other things. But again, for the Raiders, it all starts at the offensive line. And if they can get, and if Darren McFadden plays, and if he can actually do something in his zone blocking scheme.
Yeah, now I want to get into the McFadden element, because he is, that dimension. And this is also a Browns team that's improved its ability to deal with the run. That was something they struggled with last year. You saw this Browns defense struggle out in Oakland last year, but did against a lot of opponents. And I think they've tightened that up, or that area up, significantly. But that said, it still has to happen. What if McFadden is at full go? What are the dimensions? What kind of impact do you think he can have? And maybe what changes would we see from the Raider offense?
Yeah, it's really strange because he's missed the past 3 games, and I don't think they've really missed him in the most basic sense of the word, because it wasn't like last year when he was playing at an MVP for the league type level. When they lost him, the entire offense went off the rails. This year, he's only averaging 3.3 yards per carry, which is a career low for him. Mike Goodson is averaging over 6 yards a carry. Marcel Reese, who was a wide receiver in college, converted to a fullback in the NFL, and now is playing tailback, he's averaging over 4 yards a carry. So if he's back and he's right, I think what Darren McFadden does is he gives you that home run threat every single time he touches the ball. But where the Raiders got in trouble early in the year was they would just keep ramming him into the line time and again, waiting for something to break. And you saw that against Pittsburgh. He had a 64-yard run for a touchdown against them. But that's not really using him to his skills. His skill set is putting him out in space and letting him create. So a lot of it is the play calling. A lot of it is his own head and what he feels confident in doing.
Now, Paul, this Raider defense ranked 25th overall, 28th against the rush, 24th against the pass. Hardly sterling numbers, but a Browns offense that has had some of its struggles of late, and didn't capitalize nearly as much as a lot of us thought it should have, or that they thought they should have, with 8 turnovers from the Steelers. But nonetheless, some talented people. Trent Richardson, the types of talented players they have, young players who could, I think, have opportunities if this defense continues to play the way it's playing.
Yeah, and I think that's the main goal for the Raider defense, is just to have a couple of stops. You saw some flashes of it in Cincinnati last weekend. The 3rd quarter, they had 4 3 and outs against the Bengals after getting run up and down the field in the first half. So they're able to make some adjustments, and I think they're hoping that can carry over. I tell you, in talking to Trent Richardson on the conference call earlier today, he was interesting in that he sang nothing but praises for Rolando McClain, who has kind of been the poster boy for Raider fans who are angry with this defense because he has not lived up to the billing of being a top 10 pick to be that beast at middle linebacker. And he sang his praises and said that a lot of people are sleeping on him. So we're going to see what Trent Richardson can do against Rolando McClain come Sunday. That's a big matchup I'm looking forward to.
Yeah, I think the whole thing is very intriguing. Well, I appreciate the input, Paul. We do, and we look forward to seeing you on Sunday.
Sounds good. Hopefully, or maybe we do hope that this thing comes down to something like Red Right 88, right? At least from the Raider perspective.
I was going to say, from the Raider perspective, from the Browns,
exactly.
From the Browns perspective, you made a lot of my audience very sick to their stomachs when you
sorry about that.
That thing. Paul Gutierrez joins us, does an outstanding job of covering the Raiders for CSN Bay Area. Check out his great work on the website there. We've got much more coming up on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.